flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. You got Brian Broaddus on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California, continuing with our Cowboys training camp coverage. We have CY Rangers GM coming up here in about 20 minutes. Of course, Lucius Alexander, Zach Wolchuk, myself, Gavin Dawson. And it is time now to talk with one of our favorite, if not our single most favorite football guest, Mike Golic Jr., college football analyst, talk show host with his daddy on DraftKings. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Appreciate you having me back. Always a ton of fun.
Man, can we start with this Notre Dame linebacker that the Cowboys drafted, Maris Leafy? I'd love to get your thoughts on what kind of a NFL career you think awaits him.
Yeah, you know, Maris turned himself into an incredibly productive player in South Bend, was a leader in the middle of a defense that had a ton of NFL qualities about it under Al Golden. And I think for people in the NFL drafting players on that side of the ball, while Al's there, especially along with Marcus Freeman, you're going to see high football IQ. These guys are used to wearing a bunch of hats and playing roles. For Maris, the things I can say specifically about him, that nose for the football thing kind of gets overblown sometimes. It's hard to quantify. But he really is a guy that always finds his way to the action, really good at diagnosing plays, a good enough athlete with some great closing speed to help track guys down. I thought really actually in the last couple of years of his career there too, really strong pass rush wiggle for a place in Dallas that, you know, got pretty spoiled when Micah Parsons went from off-ball linebacker to turning into one of the most ferocious pass rushers in the entire league. He's not going to do that for you by any stretch, but he is a guy in sub packages I thought would probably be the place that not special teams where he was able to make an impact for Dallas for the soonest. So I think high football IQ, really good closing speed, certainly not afraid to come up and thud somebody by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that combined with, in this day and age, being a guy that can run well sideline to sideline and be a value add on passing downs going towards the quarterback, all that stuff seems to fare pretty well.
Yeah, he's looked fantastic in preseason. I know, like the rest of us, you're getting geeked for college football. We'll definitely chat some of that. But this is a weird year, it seems like, for our Cowboys. You don't have Dak Prescott extended. Mike McCarthy's going into a lame duck season. CeeDee Lamb is still unsigned. I'm curious your expectations for the Dallas Cowboys as we get ready for 2024.
Yeah, you know what? Becoming friends with David Hellman, who obviously, you know, everyone in Cowboys Nation knows pretty well, does a great job over at Fox. I talk with him. He's like my Cowboys translator. Because anytime I'm like, hey, how much of this is the media machine that Jerry Jones has built up and the interest economy around that team, and how much of it's actually real? And for the most part, he's pointed out that historically, things still tend to get done, even if it looks and feels harder. We saw that most recently with my buddy Zach Martin last year, where it took a little while, even for him, a guy who's a future Ring of Honor, Gold Jacket, everything that we know Zach is, it took even a little extra effort for him to go get paid. And so once you see something like that enough times, you understand that it's more par for the course, even if I don't think it's good business practice to treat your star players like that in a place that prides itself on treating its star players, especially post-career, pretty darn well. So, yeah, I think it's kind of obscured what I think is still a very good football team. They've got to answer for the sins in the postseason. That's the reality, and that's something they've earned through the recent years, not just the history since the triplets, but I think overall the effects like that, where you see Micah Parsons getting involved in that stuff in the conversation for a guy that, again, like CD, is going to get paid by this team. Those two are not walking out the door. The Dak situation is a little more complicated than that now, I think, based on what Dak could have on the other side of the rainbow if he chooses to pursue that. But for those two guys, they're going to be there. For Micah Parsons, it could be a little bit more difficult road like his peers that he's seen. But at the end of the day, they're still there. They're still going to play this season. And even though the Cowboys have questions to answer, although, you know, hopefully some of the uptick in Mozzie Smith production maybe helps out the run defense, offensively, we'll see if the youth on the offensive line can offset the fact that they didn't address running back in the way people thought they should this offseason. It's still going to be a double-digit win football team.
Hey, Mike, I really thought Notre Dame guys were smart. And the fact that you've enlisted Hellman to help you, I think, is a huge mistake. You know, as an LSU guy with Hellman, I just kind of question your smarts. Maybe you should have gone to school with us at LSU with that type of thinking. But you did bring up the offensive line, and I wondered what your thoughts were. In the NFL, in this day and age, can you go with two rookies of your five and function well in the National Football League on your offensive line?
You know what? It's certainly difficult. I think, you know, they're sort of separate cases, because Cooper coming in playing as much football as he did at the college level, playing a position like center, where when you've got a quarterback that's as capable and smart as Dak Prescott is, when Zach Martin is to your right, who's seen a ton of football, is an incredibly high IQ guy, some of the more difficult parts mentally of that position are going to be handled, I think, at least a little bit by other people at the beginning for Cooper. Physically, center's usually one of the easier positions to slot in on the offensive line. I say that as someone that snapped the ball for a while during my career. You've got a lot more help, and so you're going to have those advantages there. You're next to two of the best in the business in Tyler and Zach, so that's going to go a long way too. And with Tyler Guyton, it really is a testament to what the Cowboys, despite all the things that we, you know, talk about them as flawed publicly and the way they deal with certain things, man, they can identify and draft quality talent and get them coached up quick on the offensive line. Because Tyler Guyton was a dude I wasn't in love with coming out of Oklahoma.
Sure.
I saw the tools that would make him incredibly enticing to a pro team, but it seemed far off. The motor sometimes seemed inconsistent. Some of the technique was certainly lacking. And you just see the benefit of being in a room that knows how to do this with quality veteran pieces there, like Zach, and quite honestly, like Tyler Smith, who came in as a guy that was a little more raw of a prospect coming out of Tulsa, but got up to speed quickly. And what I've seen, you know, I know the reports out of camp, there's been good days and bad for Tyler, but seeing what made its way to the stadium for the preseason games, hearing the stuff as of late, it seems like they've done it again. He'll have a few more rough moments, because technically there's still some spots he gets himself into trouble, but you see more often than I saw on the Oklahoma tape, his gifts helping get him, along with the better, you know, the better coaching he's received, up out of some of those bad spots.
It's Mike Golic Jr. here with you on 105.3 The Fan. I'm picking Cowboys in the East. I think Philly's going to be more down this year than last. What do you think?
I disagree with that. I actually think Philly, I don't know how they could be, especially, you know, I know the beginning of the year we felt like they were on borrowed time. That 10-1 record might not have been indicative, but I'll give them credit. They went out and addressed damn near every deficiency they had in the offseason somehow, some way. Will it be good enough to get them back to the Super Bowl? That I would probably stop short of, but they're going to be competitive in the East. Again, the defense has Vic Fangio at the helm, who's proven commodity with a bunch of new guys and young guys there. Offensively, I think getting a little bit of new life injected into a scheme that had become a little stale with still a bunch of talented players means that team's probably going to do pretty well. I think it's a two-horse race in that division. I'd probably still lean Dallas if you put the gun to my head right now, but I do think that one is going to be pretty close because Philly answered the bell this offseason.
There was a piece last week from ESPN. Some people feel like it was too toxic and it overplayed the relationship between Sirianni and Hurts. What do you think about the chemistry in Philadelphia?
You know, I think like anything else, when there's as much smoke as we've seen over the last, you know, however many, you know, like year and a half now from that, there's probably a good bit of fire on that. Nick Sirianni seems like a different cat, a head coach, right? Some of the ways he's conducted himself, even publicly, that we get to see has not been what we normally see from head coaches in the NFL. But that being said, you're going to have a little bit of buffer in there right now. I mean, anyone that's played ball will tell you, you're only, even as the starting quarterback, spending so much time with the head ball coach. Most of it's with your position coach. Most of it's with your offensive coordinator. We saw the areas. Listen, last year when Nick started to get a little bit too familiar again with a lot of that, that was when the trouble started. Some of the best times in Philadelphia are when Nick decided to let go and let Shane Steichen control the offense, be more of the CEO. And so if he can get back to and stick to that, I think some of this stuff is mitigated. But there's no doubt there's a little bit of discomfort that we've seen work its way out publicly.
All right, it is just a few days away here, Gojo, from the college football season kicking off. It's been a bunch of change, all right? We got Texas OU in the SEC now. We got a 12-team playoff. Well, what do you think? What are some of the things that are headlines for you as we get ready to start a new college football season?
Yeah, no, I think you start off there personally. And if you'd have told me a couple of years ago when we started hearing about all this conference realignment news and stuff like that, that you would have two teams, one in Texas walking into the SEC and the other in Oregon walking into the Big Ten, that would be as equipped to come in and compete to win the division right off the bat as those two teams are, I'd have been pretty stunned. But it's a testament to what Steve Sarkisian and Dan Lanning have done, going to incredibly well-resourced programs, but getting them to a place now where depth-wise and along the lines of scrimmage, where those two leagues in particular thrive, to that place, it's pretty darn impressive. Outside of that, I mean, you look in the state of Texas for you guys outside of Austin. Listen, Notre Dame's getting ready to go down to Kyle Field, Texas A&M, week one of the season, and test out a group that is real interesting. I know a lot of NFL folks that are really high on Connor Wegman. Should he be able to stay healthy? I think Mike Elko can coach his ass off. And that guy with the kind of talent they have there, I think it's only a matter of time before they're in a much better place overall than where they were towards the end of the Jimbo Fisher era. So I think that situation. And then the other one for me that's super interesting, Penn State. Like, the expanded playoff, it's now or never for one of the most tradition-rich programs in college football to break through that ceiling that's been on them in the shape of Ohio State and Michigan for a while. So those are a few that are interesting. Obviously, Ohio State, Georgia, Penn in the college football playoff right now. How they get there will be interesting, but they're going to be there. There's just too much talent on those teams.
What's Oklahoma have to do to get back in the mix for the playoff picture? And, let's just go there. You know, do you think we'll see that for sure now that they're going to the SEC?
I think it'll get there eventually. This year's going to be tough just because you graduated so much talent off the offensive line. And Bill Beambo is one of the best offensive line coaches in college football at Oklahoma with Venables. And so I trust that he's going to get that room up to speed. But it's just one of those years, timing-wise, you don't want to be walking into this conference trying to microwave success with a new group on your offensive line right out of the gate. That's tough sledding. The defense, I think, is getting closer to the Venables stuff that we saw at Clemson. I think this year could be a big step forward for them, and Jackson Arnold's got a bunch of talent. But, yeah, I trust that they're dedicated enough to this and have the right people to make it work. I just think their path forward because of that O-line reset is a little tougher right this year than it is for a place, say, like Texas, that's bringing back four of their five starters and a guy in Kelvin Banks who's probably a top five pick.
If you're a fan of, like, you know, TCU, Baylor, Tech, and you're – you know, you're staying back here. Is this a better experience as a fan when a slightly less conference have a better chance of making the playoffs here with the expanded field?
Listen, it's no doubt going to take a little bit of a hit because we all want to feel like we're a part of the big conversation. And if you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, there's a feeling of being left out. But your point, the Big 12 is really deep with teams that could make it interesting. And while all of these teams, the Power Four conferences and the highest ranked Group of Five champion, all have a direct avenue to the playoff, that's an incredible opportunity right now. You know, you look at the Big 12, Utah coming in with a veteran team's always a tough out under Kyle Whittingham. Kansas State looks like they're going to be a tough out again as usual under Chris Klieman. But there's a lot of other teams you just mentioned within shouting distance. And so if you've got a chance and you've got a viable path to the playoff, then, yeah, there is something to be said for clearing out a couple of those teams that would have made that conversation a little more muted.
With all the conference movement and expansion, do you think your Fighting Irish Notre Dame will always stay independent, or do you think eventually they're going to need to join the Big Ten or whatever conference they'd like?
I think I always call it football Pangea. When we finally get the one big super conference that everyone's playing in and it's like 60 teams and we're basically doing the – I think that'll probably be it for Notre Dame as long as they've got a viable opportunity, kind of why I chose the language I did with that Big 12 conversation. Notre Dame, it's always been, hey, is our TV money comparable and do we have a path to the championship? And while they can't get the first round bye in this structure and they've got to sacrifice some on that front, the other two things are still satisfied and that's all that really matters in South Bend. We'll see if as the playoff continues to change structure, maybe it becomes harder for them to get that at-large bid. Maybe you do get more automatic bids for some of the bigger conferences as we go forward. And if that does, Notre Dame, new athletic director Pete Bavakwa, they're going to make the right decision to keep Notre Dame competitive in those areas. And if they eventually have to join a conference, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it because it's been a part of their identity, but it's certainly not the bulk of it.
Gojo Podcast on DraftKings, we thank you so much. We're big fan of your football brain. Is there anything else that we can mention for you before we say goodbye?
No, all good, fellas. I appreciate it. We're 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Monday through Friday on the DraftKings Network. We're having a blast. So we're hoping more people stop by for a fun fall.
Yes, sir. Enjoy the football season. Talk to you soon. Mike Golic Jr., one of our must books every radio row, and he's nice enough, generous enough with his time to, you know, usually do a couple of segments with us during the football season. Okay, speaking of generous guests, Chris Young, Rangers GM, on a pivotal Monday here, losers of 7 series in a row. Ouch. We'll ask him questions about where they are and where they go next. It is the G-Bag Nation on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan.